All right, well, if you have your Bibles open, please, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 10 is our text. Let's first of all pray and get into our portion this morning. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow again before Thee in Thy house, we're thankful for the Word of God, for this instruction given in this particular book, in this specific verse. And Lord, we pray You'll give us help today, from preacher to pew. Lord, we pray the Holy Ghost will be flowing and working and molding and making. Lord, may it not be just an hour of passing time, but may it be an hour, Lord, or well, half an hour now, of, Lord, the surgeon going in, removing sin and giving us instruction that we will be more like Christ. Help us, Lord, to conform to Thy will. And Lord, may saint and sinner be challenged today. Help us. In Jesus' name we pray to control the tongue. Amen and amen. The tongue, or tongue, it's just a little member, a little muscle in the body. But how often has your tongue got you in trouble? Throughout your life, I'm sure there's been occasions, more than we like to remember perhaps, when you say something, and as the words go out of your mouth, you just wish you could grab them and pull them back in again. Sometimes we say things and we wonder, what on earth did I just say there? You ever do that? Sometimes it can be offensive. Sometimes it can be silly. Sometimes it can be hurtful. The tongue, the dangerous wee member. But it also can do great good. Because with our tongue, we can speak words that are helpful and a blessing and a benefit to people. So a tongue can be trouble. It can also do much good. Your tongue, I mean your literal organ in your mouth, is the only muscle in your whole body that works without a skeleton. It works without any bones. No bones included there. Okay? And although it has no bones, it's strong enough to hurt and to wound. It's also strong enough and capable enough to encourage and to pick other people up when they're cast down. A tongue can destroy a person's reputation. The tongue can guide for good. It's one of those members. It just needs to be tamed and controlled. Truth of the matter is, most people will think the words of our mouth aren't really that big of a deal before God. What we say, what we talk about, it's a small thing, maybe the general consensus. But in reality, the Lord puts great emphasis upon our words and our language. There's a whole command. Out of the Ten Commandments, there's a whole commandment dedicated to your tongue. Listen, there's a command about murder. That's big. There's a command about stealing. That's big. There's a command about worshipping God only. That's huge. There's also a command specifically for your tongue. I shall not bear false witness. No lies. One of the Ten Commandments deals with what many would say is a little thing. Just your words. Just your tongue. And so, when we break that command, when we do bear false witness, when we speak wrongly with our tongue, and remember, the commandments, they're like a file, and the file's name is Thou Shalt Not Bear False Witness. But remember, that file, when you open up, it's full of more details like murder. Okay, well, when we talk about the sins of the tongue, it can be inappropriately speaking, like Matthew says, when you say to your brother Raca, you deserve hellfire. There is strong condemnation for the wrong use of your tongue. Maybe for one moment, would you turn with me, please, to Matthew 12? And this, men and women, is a verse I want to just read with you to set the importance of this theme today. Matthew 12, 36. Okay. We're talking about the tongue. Not a small subject by any means. Because remember, Matthew 12, 36. But I say unto you that every That's all conclusive. That's all concluding that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account, therefore, in the day of judgment. You'll give an account for every idle word you say. When something falls in your foot, and you say something, maybe a vain word, you'll give an account for that someday before God. Maybe when we're being silly, we say vain, idle words. God says, when you stand before me, I'll open the books. I won't be judging you in those words. How many words, men and women, have you and I said over the years that are idle, that are vain, that are foolish? A lot. Well, we will one day have them brought before us to give an answer. So go back then to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3. And here we have instruction concerning the tongue. And it is important. Verse 10 makes this strong statement. Refrain his tongue. Let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips, that may speak no guile. He's talking about controlling the tongue. That's what it is. Putting in the bit, the harness, controlling your tongue, like the psalmist said. Again, you know, here there is Hebrew plurality. We said it last week, same thing said twice. Let him refrain his tongue from evil, that's said again, and his lips, that may speak no guile. Men and women, like I said earlier, the tongue, okay, the tongue is a muscle that doesn't have a bone. The tongue doesn't use a bone. The problem is, sometimes the tongue doesn't use the brain. All right? Sometimes we engage the brain after we speak. It just rattles on ahead of us, and then we think about what we said. Well, it's too late. We'll give an account for those words someday, and we may have a lot of words to give an account for. But I'll say this, when you think about this subject this morning, we're told here to refrain the tongue from evil and from speaking guile. But the reality is, we're told this because we do it. We do speak evil. We do speak guile. Sometimes we don't think about what we're saying. We're stupid in that regards. We're inclined to ramble on and say offensive, hurtful things. The other side to that is when you're on the receiving end of the tongue. Someone speaking evil, guile, offensive, being hurtful. Just remember, sometimes we do speak without thinking. Now, we need to be thick-skinned at times, remembering that other people are like us. We say things that we shouldn't. So don't take things too seriously. When people give you an insult, don't take it too seriously. When people compliment you, say something nice, don't take it too seriously. Sometimes we speak without thinking. Taming the tongue is our subject this morning. Firstly, we want to look at governing the tongue and then the wise use of the tongue. We are in 1 Peter, of course, speaks here about refraining the tongue from evil. But let me go to the book of James to really flesh out what Peter's saying here. So, just the previous book, James. And before it's James chapter 1, actually. James here speaks of the tongue in a couple of chapters here. He deals at length with the tongue. And what James is doing in this book is he is explaining and expressing what a Christian should be like. If you're really a believer, there are certain characteristics and things that are expected of you to do. You're changed, you're saved, there will be things therefore you will do. Now in James chapter 1 and the verse 26, we read here, if any man among you seem to be religious Now, just note the wording here, religious. That's a different word from being converted and confessing Christ, okay? If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not the tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. So here you have somebody, and they seem religious, okay? They're going through the motions of religion, putting up a mighty good show. To everyone outside, they may say, oh, there is a religious man, a religious woman. Listen to their words. And their words betray, and their tongue betrays them. Because as they talk and as they speak with an unbridled tongue, and that's how you know the hypocrite. People may be religious in their behavior, in their actions, but the heart is always exposed by the tongue. The tongue betrays the hypocrite. Your words enable you to see what's in your heart, men and women. That's the truth. And maybe today you are religious, but not actually saved. You're not born again. You can't confess that Jesus Christ is your Savior because he's not. You've never accepted him as your Lord. You've never repented of sin. You haven't got down before God and confessed that you've broken his law, that you deserve hell. You haven't got on your knees and cried out to God and said, Lord, save me, for I'm going to hell. You haven't done that. But yet you're religious. That's two different things. Well, the person who hasn't confessed their sin and called upon God for salvation, they are like the religious hypocrite, but their tongue betrays them. And here's the thing, men and women, whether you're saved or not, our tongue always shows us what's in the heart. There's times, and we've all experienced this, there are times we'll say something and we'll think, where did that come from? Why did I just say that? And we'll excuse ourselves and we'll say, oh, I didn't mean to say that. Yes, you did. That was your heart expressing itself. And you're shocked at the state of your heart. It just comes out. How often have we said that? I'm sorry, what I said, it just came out of me without thinking. Well, if it came out of you, it was in you. In your heart. Sometimes people will say something that's not true. And later on, they'll try and excuse it and say, oh, it was only a wee white lie. They bluff over it. But what that actually shows the person is that they have a lying heart. They're a liar. They're wicked. They're vain. And they need to be forgiven for their sin because the heart is wicked. That's the reality. So, we know our heart by the words that we say. Turn with me also in chapter 3 of James here. So, James chapter 3. And here's a very well-known portion that deals with the tongue. Read it with me, verse 1 of chapter 3. Not all of it, just the first couple of verses here. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation, for in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm. Whithersoever the governor listeth, even so the tongue is a little member, and boast of great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. Verse 8, and here's where my title for my text comes from, really. Verse 8, but the tongue can no man tame. We're talking today about taming the tongue. Let me just talk you through some of these verses here for a moment. James here in verse 1, he speaks about, remember the context here is the tongue. And he speaks here about someone being like a boss. I'm the boss. And whatever I say, that's what goes. And it's someone who, they're always right. They require everyone to stand to their standard. Their standard sets the mark. Verse 1 is the opposite to being humble. It's the man, it's the woman who see themselves as a giant. And when they speak, their standard goes. The reality is, we ought to have a humble tongue. Not being like a boss, not being like a master, but rather than being a giant who everyone else should submit to, we ought to see ourselves as being careful that we do not offend with this lethal weapon, the tongue that we have. Because look at verse 2. For on many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. A perfect man, a good man, he that will enjoy good life and will love life, as Peter puts it, they'll control the tongue. Able to control the whole body, including the tongue. So the man, woman, who is godly and good, ought to have a humble tongue. They also ought to be able to control the tongue. Look at verse 3 here. We put bits in horses' mouth, and they obey us. So you put in the bit, and it's you, so you can pull the horse's face and head and mouth back, and it reins them in. And the tongue's the same, men and women. You see, if you are riding on a horse, let's say bareback, and no bridle, and you're holding on to whatever part of the horse you can grab onto, around its neck or whatever, that horse could take you in a real gallop somewhere. And that could take you a lot further than you intended it in going. Tongue's the exact same. If you haven't got a bridle in it, if you're not controlling it, it can take you to places you would rather not be. It's true. If our tongue rattles on, it carries you into all kinds of sins and offences and stupidity. We must have it bridled, or the tongue will get us into trouble. The next verse is the same. You have these illustrations of the horse and the bit. You have in verse 4 here the great ship, this great ocean liner. And yet it's controlled by the helm. By the helm. In the helm, you have the helmsman. And the helmsman has his equipment, his gear, to change the direction of the ship by turning the wee rudder. Rudder's a small wee thing. But it changes the direction of the whole ship. And the tongue's just like that. It must be controlled, or it'll take us into deep, fierce waters, into trouble, into danger. There must be, men and women, here's the fact. There must be this conscious daily exercise that every time you speak, think before you speak. One of our ministers, you all know him for his preaching in this pulpit, but he's always known as a man who is very, very slow to speak. He used to be in one of our congregations down the country a bit, and people would maybe ask him a question at the door. And he would do a funny wee thing. He would hear the question. He would walk round the church and then answer them. People said, why do you do that? He said, I've learned to be slow to speak. Think before I speak. That's right, men and women. We are far too quick to answer. I don't know why we're like that. It's as if there's a race to get the answer right as quick as possible. Just slow down. Get the bit in the bridle and pull yourself back. Get the helmsman in and gear the ship in the right direction. Just be slow. Consider what we're saying. Have a humble tongue. Have a controlled tongue. Have a sensitive tongue. Look at verse 6. Actually, verse 5. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire can kindle. your tongue. Like a little flame. You think on a match, these cold days, you might have a fire, you light the fire, and you strike your match, and realistically, that wee flame, you could put it out with your own finger and thumb, just press on it, and you'll suffocate it from oxygen, and it'll die. But you put it in the fire, and the whole fire soon will be engulfed in flames. You'll not put that out with your finger and your thumb. Is that right? That's the same with our tongue. There's wee words that we might say, and they seem so insignificant and small, you can just bluff over. But those little words, like a little flame, can burn a whole house down. It can burn a whole fellowship down. It can burn friendships down, relationships. It can burn the work of God down. So we ought to be careful with our little fire that we have in the mouth. Oh, use it for good and control it well. We need to realize how effective and how damaging our tongue can be. Now, read on down with me here, and then we'll go back to our text. Verse 6, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The Bible calls your tongue a world of iniquity, all kinds of iniquities on your tongue. That's right. So was the tongue among our members. Go to verse 7, for every kind of beasts and birds and serpents and things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Now, the word of God makes it clear. It is impossible to perfectly tame your tongue. We will never get perfect control, and it's still frustrating. And why is that? No matter how hard we try and we govern our words and we're slow to speak, we still say the stupidest of things at times. And you go home to your bed at night and you think, why did I say that? Why can I not just keep my mouth shut? Still do that, don't we? It's frustrating. We'll never tame it perfectly. That's because it's governed by the heart. The heart's still sinful, men and women. Nevertheless, we ought to make every effort and strive before God to use this tongue to govern it as best we can, to tame it as best possible. And we start by studying and realizing how dangerous a weapon it is. So go back with me then to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3. We thought about just two things today, governing the tongue. There is a need just to think about it, be aware of it. But secondly, I want you to look at the wise use of your tongue. The wise use. So Peter says here, refrain his tongue. Let him refrain his tongue from evil. And again, the context here is of getting control of it and stop it being used for evil. And so the opposite then is true, that it can be used for good. There is a wise way to use your tongue. Instead of letting everything rattle out, instead of it being a garbage tip, just babbling and babbling and babbling on, rather, use it the glory of God and for the good of men. Would you go with me to Ephesians, please? Ephesians chapter 5. And I want to take you to Ephesians. Then we'll go to Proverbs. Ephesians. Chapter 5. Verse 1. Ian, dealing here with the tongue. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savour. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become of saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Do you see that verse? It's talking about your words, your tongue, what you say, and particularly verse 4, it says, neither filthiness, there should be no filthiness on our lips. What about foolish talking? Shouldn't be there. What about jesting? Shouldn't be there. What does that mean? We can't have a wee laugh. We can't have a wee innocent joke. Well, read the whole verse. Read the whole verse. It's filthiness, foolishness, foolish talking, jesting, which are not convenient. Which are not convenient. They're dirty. They're not nice. They're inappropriate. There's a place for humor. It is fine to speak in a jovial manner when it's clean and good and not offensive. Nothing wrong with that. But when it's not convenient, it's sin. That's wrong. So it's getting that balance. Humor requires a little bit of use of the brain. You can't hurt. You can't offend. And I've told you 1,000 times in this pulpit. Well, that's an exaggeration. But I've told you many times in this pulpit, but times in the building, said a friend, really, really jovial. Very, very humorous and genuinely is. We're off in the building sites. He would wax eloquent with his humor and we could laugh and it'd be fine. It'd be no offensive in any way, but genuinely humorous. And then somebody else would jump on the bandwagon and their tongue would just be filled with all the dirt and filth of the world. And my colleague, and I've told this before, but I'll say it again for a bear's mentioning, one time that happened and the person who was standing with us began to tell his wee joke, and he only got about the first 5 words out, and my big work colleague just said, "Stop, I'm a Christian, I don't want to hear that language," and just walked away. You know, and the other fellow just went completely peel, and he realised, well, you know, my language wasn't appropriate, and he apologised, settled everything down. There is a time for jesting and for some fun, for sure, that's okay, but not what's inconvenient. It's a wise use of the tongue. Go to chapter 4 here of Ephesians. Chapter 4 and the verse 28. "Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God." Now, we all know that verse, but grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. It comes right after the verse that talks about your tongue and your language and your mouth. "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good." A sincere, inoffensive, discreet tongue is a great blessing. It's a great blessing. Go with me to Proverbs, and just let me run through a couple of Proverbs really quickly and, you know, jot them down and go home and seriously think about them. They are verses that are genuinely helpful when it comes to our conversation. Pray about this. Proverbs 10, first of all, we'll go to verse 11. Verse 11 is a magnificent verse. It speaks about the mouth. And look what it says here. Proverbs 10, verse 11. "The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life." It's a well of life. And what do wells do? You dip in your bucket and you bring out your water and it refreshes. It gives you life and vitality. It's good, for there's nothing more refreshing on a blazing hot day to get a refreshing drink of water from under the ground. It's cool. It's refreshing. Does you good. Is your tongue like that? We live in a dry, fiery world. There's offenses and sin. Is your conversation refreshing? Your neighbours talk to you because you're refreshing? Or do they avoid the plague? Your husband, your wife, they find you refreshing? Your children, your parents, your grandchildren, your relatives, your work colleagues. Do people find you refreshing your conversation? If not, there's something wrong with your heart. And there is something wrong with our hearts. "The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life." Lord, may we be a well of life. Someone who speaks with encouragement, counsel, speaks truth, gives guidance. Look with me also, please, at verse 19. Proverbs 10:19. Look at this one now. In the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. Isn't that interesting? Essentially, what that verse is saying is, sometimes good to keep your mouth closed. Don't babble and babble and babble and babble and babble. Because with a multitude of words, there will be plenty of sin. And that's right. And that is right, men and women. When we speak, the more sin we get ourselves into, and the more sin we commit. And you remember that every idle word we will answer before God someday. Be cautious then with that tongue. Look with me also at verse 20. Okay, still in Proverbs 10, verse 20. The tongue of the just is as choice silver. A just man, a wise man, a righteous man, a good man, a godly man. Their tongue is like choice silver. What does that mean? What is choice silver? It's precious. It's valuable. It's something you want. And when someone has a just, wise, godly tongue, it's precious. People want to hear it. They want to have conversation with you because they know it's like choice silver. It's desirable to have. And so, go back with me to 1 Peter. And there's lots of other verses there. Especially in that Proverbs chapter 10. Lots of verses about the tongue there. And you can go and read it yourself. But, that'll do. Even chapter 11 there, verses 12. And there's verse 13. Talks about a teal bear and all the rest of it. But anyway, let's go to 1 Peter. Again, where our text is. Let's wrap this all up. 1 Peter, the chapter 3, and that verse 10. Here we have the tongue. We ought to refrain from evil. That means positive and negative. There's something we ought to stop, and therefore something we ought to do. We refrain it from evil so that we can use it for good, making good use of the tongue to enjoy life, to enjoy fellowship. Look at verse 10 at the beginning. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue. If you love your life, if you cherish your life, if you want a good life, control your tongue, because there's nothing more certain. If you have an uncontrolled tongue, your life will be miserable. Your relationships with one another will be miserable. Always fighting, always falling out, always being offensive. People won't want to be near you. Furthermore, what about your relationship with God? If your tongue's not controlled, you'll grieve God. And so your life, your whole conduct will be impacted by your tongue. It will be. 100%. Let me say in conclusion here. Think of the words of Christ. I think, actually, I am certain that Christ's words would have been few. Because Proverbs makes it very clear that the just man, his words will be few. Christ was just and righteous and wise. His words would have been few. But when he spoke, people listened. Because his lips were like choice, his tongue was like choice silver. It was wise, it was truth, it was good counsel, it was helpful. And people came to hear Christ because they wanted to hear his wisdom and his words. He was like a well that refreshed all to whom he spoke. Remember, we'll stand before God someday and give an account for all of our words. Let me tell you this, as we finish, there is a drab, grey, slate tombstone, I am told, in England, the churchyard in the country. It's drab, it's dreary, you can walk by it and not see it. You have to bend over and look at it. And you know what it says on this gravestone? Beneath this stone, a lump of clay, lies Arabella Young, who on the 24th of May began to hold her tongue. It's quite the epitaph. Beneath this stone, lump of clay, lies Arabella Young, who on the 24th of May began to hold her tongue. It must have been a handful for somebody. But there will come a day when we will hold our tongue. We will speak no more. This voice will never be heard. We will not be able to add anything to what we have said. Well, we have said enough. What about sharing the gospel? The day will come we can't share the gospel anymore. And those that we leave lost, we can do no more. Will we have praised God enough? The best use of your tongue, because men and women, your tongue someday will lie silent in the grave, and you cannot call upon God for salvation then. The dead tongue can't articulate. The dead tongue can't cry for mercy. And in hell, it will burn forevermore. And like the man in the parable there, he will cry out for a drop of water upon my tongue. While in hell, suffer forevermore. We have a tongue. We ought to use it well. In confessing our sin, in calling upon God, and then confessing to the world who Jesus Christ is. So, will we in that great judgment day, will we hang our heads in shame, or will we be able to say, at least from February 2024, I began to restrain my tongue for the glory of God? Pray over that verse this week, men and women. Let that sink into your heart and your soul. And may the devil not steal the good seed of God's word away today. Take your hymn book.